Great, Trevor. Good morning. Thanks. Look, GE finished here with real strength. We had the best order results in history. Many of our key end-use markets are showing momentum, like commercial real estate and aviation. The emerging markets continue to be very strong. There are a few challenge markets like Europe and appliances, but on balance, we have a positive outlook. Company operations were strong. EPS grew by 11%. Organic growth was 5%. CFOA and liquidity were very strong. GE Capital exceeded all of their performance goals and ended with a very strong Tier 1 common ratio. We're executing a balanced capital allocation plan. We increased the dividend again in fourth quarter. Overall, the dividend grew by 21% in 2011. Our buyback for the year was $5.4 billion, including both common shares and the Berkshire Preferred. Finally, we end 2011 with confidence that we can deliver on our 2012 double-digit earnings framework. So overall, a good quarter. Orders grew by 15%, which was up 9% organically. We had fairly broad-based strength. Of particular note, energy orders were up 23%. Thermal orders were up 88%, and we had orders for 50 heavy-duty gas turbines in the quarter. Orders in the emerging markets grew by 26%. We end the year with $200 billion of backlog and had an equipment book-to-bill ratio of 1.23 for the quarter. So these numbers certainly support a 5 to 10% organic growth goal for 2012. Our investments in growth are paying off. First, on the global front, we had a 25% expansion in our industrial growth market revenue. Our expansion was broad-based, with most businesses and most regions experiencing strong growth. Services grew by 14% and expanded margins. We had strong growth across all businesses, and we ended the year with $147 billion of service backlog. We increased R&D by 16% in 2011, resulting in multiple new product launches. In healthcare, we launched leadership products in MR, ultrasound, and interventional. Energy is growing in both the heavy-duty gas turbine market with the Flex 50 and 60, but also in the distributed energy products with solar and waste heat recovery. Aviation has positioned the LeapX to win and had the H80 turboprop launch to penetrate new segments. Rail is picking up global orders. We're launching a full range of appliance products in the next six quarters. So overall, our organic growth should continue. We made progress on margins in the quarter. We're up 250 basis points versus third quarter 11. Most of our negative rate versus fourth quarter 2010 is explained by acquisitions and R&D investment. Looking forward, we still feel good about a 50 basis point improvement in 2012. We have good productivity programs in place. We're making structural improvements, and our global and R&D investments are in our run rate. We see energy pricing stabilizing as we move through 2012 and into 2013. And so margins are an important focus for our leadership team, and we think we'll make progress in 2012. In cash, we had very strong cash performance. CFOA was $5.5 billion in the fourth quarter. That's a record quarter. This led to total CFOA of $12.1 billion for the year. Our working capital performance was very strong in the fourth quarter. Consolidated cash was $85 billion at year-end. Our capital allocation plan was in line with expectations. We grew the dividend twice in 2011. We completed nearly $12 billion of acquisitions and bought back $5.4 billion of stock, including the Berkshire Preferred. So overall, cash and capital allocation were either equal to or better than planned, and we feel good about that performance. We continue to strengthen GE Capital liquidity. We prepared for 2012 maturities by having a substantial amount of cash on hand. We've already issued $5 billion of long-term debt, so we're off to a good start. Our Tier 1 common ratio is 11.4% for GECC and 9.9% for JEX. On a Basel III basis, we compare favorably to the banks. We ended 2011 with $445 billion of ending net investment ahead of our plan. As a result, we're resetting our ending net investment goal for 2012 to between $425 billion and $440 billion. We will continue to grow in high-return segments, so our expectations for GE Capital earnings are unchanged for 2012. At the same time, we expect to have lower debt issuances for the year. So looking forward, we've achieved a focused, high-margin, safe GE Capital, a financial service business that can grow and win in this marketplace. And with that, I'll turn it over to Keith to go through operations.
Thanks, Jeff. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to start with the fourth quarter summary. We had continuing operations revenues in the quarter of $38 billion. They were down 8%. Industrial sales of $26.7 billion were reported down 7%. However, if you look at the notes at the bottom of the page, excluding the impact of not having the MBCU revenues last year, GE's industrial sales were up 11%. Financial services revenues, 11.6, were down 9%. That was driven by our lower assets year-over-year mostly. Operating earnings of $4.1 billion were up 6%, and operating earnings per share of 39 cents were up 11%, reflecting the benefit of retiring the preferred shares. Continuing earnings per share includes the impact of the non-operating pension, and net earnings per share includes the impact of discontinued operations, and that reflects a 2-cent charge this year, which I'm going to cover on the next page, and also on a comparison basis, the non-repeat of the net 6 cents of gains we had last year in discontinued operations. Cash for the year of $12.1 billion was very strong. We had a great fourth quarter in the total year, and Jeff covered that. For taxes, in the fourth quarter, our tax rates were 15% for GE, excluding GE Capital. The GE Capital rate was 4%, and those rates include about 3 cents of benefit from our IRS audit resolution for the years 2006 and 2007, and I'll go into a little more detail on that on the next page. So those amounts put us right in line with our third quarter outlook for tax rates for GE and GE Capital. The consolidated GE rate ended the year at 29%. The GE rate, excluding GE Capital, was 38%, and that includes the impact of the NBCU gain from the first quarter. If you exclude that, the GE rate was 19% for the year. That's up 2 points over last year. And the GE Capital rate for the year came in at 12%. And that rate's up significantly from 2010 as a result of our significantly higher pre-tax income. As you look forward for 2012, I would estimate our GE rate to be somewhere in the low 20% range and the GE Capital rate to be somewhere in the mid-teens range for 2012. On the right side, you can see the segment results. Industrial revenues were up 10%. Industrial segment profit was up 2%. That was driven by transportation and aviation. You can see energy was flat. And that's a big improvement versus the 3Q year-to-date results. Healthcare was down slightly, and home and business solutions continue to be negatively impacted by the housing market. Down the bottom, GE Capital had another strong quarter with earnings up 58%, and I'm going to go into each of the segments in more detail in a few pages. Before I get to the businesses, I'll start with the other items page. As we mentioned during third quarter, we were in negotiation for final resolution of the 2006-2007 tax years with the IRS. We did reach a resolution on several tax matters for those 2 years. That resulted in 3 cents of benefit in the fourth quarter. And in terms of geography, 1 cent of that was in industrial, and 2 cents of that were recorded in GE Capital. So overall, a 3 cent benefit at the end of the year from that resolution. We also had some one-time costs in Q4. We had a little more than 2 cents related to restructuring. We reduced the cost structure in energy, healthcare, and GE Capital. We also had almost 1 cent of one-time costs related to this year's acquisitions as we've had throughout the year. So if you look at where these were recorded, the charges were recorded at corporate. On an after-tax basis, we had $78 million in energy, $58 million in healthcare, $28 million in GE Capital. And then aviation, HMBS, transportation, and corporate all had about $15 million of restructuring as we work on lowering our cost base as we go into 2012. Excuse me. On the bottom of the page, we did an update on gray zone reserves in the fourth quarter. While the claims have declined significantly from the peak that we saw in the first quarter of 2011, we did see an uptick in September. Then we saw declines in October through December. Based on the 2011 activity, we've updated our long-term claims reduction assumption. We had set this at 4% in the third quarter of 2010, and we reduced it this quarter by about a point. So if you include the current claim severity, as well as the claims assumption adjustment, it resulted in a $243 million addition to the reserves in the fourth quarter. We end the year with $692 million in reserves, and we expect the claims to continue to decline. The December claims were down, and we will have to obviously monitor and communicate where we are in gray zone going forward, but the trends feel good based on where we are at the end of the fourth quarter. One other point that is not on the page, as we discussed in the first quarter earnings, we did have 6 more days in Q1 2011 versus Q1 2010, and that's just based on our fiscal calendar. That helped us by about 1 cent EPS in the first quarter. In the fourth quarter, we had the opposite effect. We had 6 fewer days in the fourth quarter of 11 versus 10, and that impact was about $1 billion of lower revenue and about 1 cent less EPS in the fourth quarter, and so we also absorbed that impact. Next, I want to cover two reporting updates for you. On the left side, we're in the process of merging GE Capital Services into GE Capital Corporation so that we end up with one SEC registrant for financial services. Basically, the current reporting for GE Capital Services will become the going-forward reporting for all of GE Capital Corporation. Those results at GE Capital Services will be the segment GE Capital that we use with investors. That will be what Mike Neal and the team run. There won't be two organizations. We think this is a big simplification. It will be effective for the first quarter earnings, and we're going to file an 8-K today outlining this merger. So there's no change in the fourth quarter or how we're reporting GE Capital until the first quarter, and going forward we'll have one consistent financial services entity. So I look forward to getting to just that reporting GE Capital and having it be the total enterprise. On the right side, we completed an internal reorganization in October. We moved the responsibility for the measurement and controls business run by Brian Palmer over to Dan Heintzelman in the oil and gas business. You can see the financial size here, $4 billion of revenue, $600 million of op profit on a total year basis. And the details of this move are in the supplemental materials that we released this morning. We moved this business because it reflects the customer alignment for the M&CS business. It's much more aligned with the oil and gas base. It's going to give us more scale in the solutions business for oil and gas. There is no change to the overall energy infrastructure segment. So this is just between energy and oil and gas within the segment. And today, on the results that we'll show you, I'll give you both before and after so you can clearly see this impact. So two organization changes, and I'll move on to the business results. First is energy infrastructure. The fourth quarter was a mixed performance. We had a terrific orders quarter, as Jeff talked about, and I'll give you more details. Revenue was also very strong, but it was less than our September forecasts. We had some wind units, and we had some equipment installations push into 2012. We also had some impact that was worse than we expected in September from the stronger dollar. Segment profit, while it was significantly better than the first three quarters, it was slightly less than the growth we expected, and I'll cover that by business. I'm going to cover the details for energy and oil and gas on the new basis, as I just covered, so you can see that down in the bottom left. However, the pre-reorganization basis is also shown on the bottom left, and as I said, the supplemental data has all the details. So what I'm going to go through now is on the basis with M&CS moved into oil and gas. I'll start with energy. You know, we had another quarter of great orders growth. Orders of $11 billion were up 19%. Equipment orders at $6 billion were up 33%. They're even up 24%, excluding the impact of the acquisitions. Renewable orders at $2 billion were up 53%. We had orders for 1,023 wind turbines versus 477 a year ago. Thermal orders of $1.9 billion were up 88%. We received orders for 50 gas turbines versus 29 last year. That's a great quarter for gas turbines. Equipment orders price was down 4.4%. Renewables pricing was down 4.9%. Thermal pricing was down 12.5%. If you look at the combined thermal and power gen services orders price impact, it was down 5.5% as service pricing was flat. Service orders in the quarter, $5 billion, were up 6%. When you look at the top line, revenue of $9.2 billion was up 11%. That's driven by the strong volume we had and the acquisitions benefit. Organic revenue in energy was up 6%. Equipment revenue of $5 billion was up 15%. That was driven by renewables. $1.6 billion was up 15%. We shipped 688 wind turbines versus 592 last year. That was a little short of our goal if you look at what we put out for the third quarter as we expected for the total year. We had some slip. Yenbacher revenue was up 57%, Aero revenue was up 14%, and that growth was partially offset by thermal revenues of $1.3 billion. It was down 3%. We had higher volume of gas turbines, 33 this year versus 18 last year, but that was more than offset by having lower balance of plant revenue, items that are produced by other parties that we don't make, but we include in the project, and also the lower pricing. Service revenue of about $4.1 billion was up 7%. And for the quarter, segment profit of $1.7 billion was down 3% as the benefits of the higher volume and material deflation were more than offset by lower pricing and negative unit mix. Now, while being down 3% is a great improvement over the third quarter year-to-date result of down 20%, the main drag continued to be our wind business, which accounted for $41 million of the $44 million year-over-year op profit decrease. And I'll cover some more of the dynamics on the wind business for 2012 on the next page. For oil and gas, orders of $4.7 billion were up 34%. Equipment orders of $2.4 billion were up 40%, driven by the acquisitions plus strong refinery and petrochemical orders. Service orders of $2.3 billion were up 29% on strong drilling and production activity. Oil and gas orders price index was a positive 0.2 in the quarter. Revenue of $4.1 billion was up 38%, again driven by the impact of the acquisitions. Excluding acquisitions, the revenue was up 6%. Segment profit of $630 million was up 12%. That's driven by the acquisitions plus strong volume, partially offset by negative productivity across the business. So overall, when you look at energy infrastructure, a significantly improved earnings profile as we exit 2011. Now, I thought it'd be helpful to give you a little more detail on the energy plan for 2012. On this chart, we ended the year with $6.7 billion of op profit. Our plan is to grow double-digit in 2012, and you can see the drivers on the right side. You know, first, we have an incredibly strong equipment backlog. Energy equipment orders of $25.5 billion were up 39% last year. We're planning on double-digit growth in the equipment deliveries, and you can see the huge growth in wind and aero volume down on the bottom left that's in the business plan for 2012. You know, for services, our service orders were $22.8 billion, up 9% for 2011. Our service backlog stands at $50 billion, so we should expect a good services year in energy. We've invested a lot in new products and in growth. We've peaked in terms of our program and growth investments as a percent of revenue, so that's not going to be a drag on margins for energy, and we'll get a full year of the acquisition earnings. So those four factors more than offset the price pressure that we already have in the backlog and that we've talked about quite a bit. So, you know, the energy teams worked through the toughest part of the earnings cycle, mainly driven by the 2011 wind margin declines, and we're looking forward to delivering double-digit earnings growth in 2012. Next is aviation. The aviation team had another solid quarter in the fourth quarter. Orders of $6.9 billion were up 18%. Commercial engine orders of $3.3 billion were up 67%, driven by the GE90. Military engine orders of $402 million were up 53%, driven by foreign military orders. Equipment orders price was up 1.9%. We ended the quarter with a backlog of $22.5 billion, up 12% versus last year. Service orders of $2.7 billion were down 9%. Military services were down 41%, driven by the lower F-110 spares. And commercial services were up 1%, driven by higher overall activity, overhaul activity, partially offset by a lower spares rate. The fourth quarter spares order rate was 22.3 million a day, down 11%. And that reflects the aggressive purchasing that we saw in the third quarter in advance of the November price increase. If you look at the total year average daily order rate for our spares, it was 24.7 million, up 13% over 2010. And the team feels very confident about the current spares rate and how they're doing in the marketplace commercially. Revenue of $4.9 billion, that was up 2%, driven by equipment up 3% and services up 2%. We shipped 518 commercial engines in the quarter. That was down 7 engines from last year, but revenues were up 10% on more GE90 units, and we shipped 34 GEnx units in the quarter. Segment profit of $850 million was up 4%, and that's driven by the strong volume and the positive value gap in the business. On the right side, transportation. The transportation team continued delivering strong results in the fourth quarter. Orders of $1.2 billion were down 11%. That's driven by the tough comparisons. Equipment orders of $500 million were down 43% because of no repeat of last year's $550 million multi-year order. So the order's still in the backlog, but it's a tough comparison. Service orders of $739 million were up 57%. That's driven by the growth in our long-term service agreements, and orders pricing for transportation was up 1.2%. Revenue in the quarter, $1.5 billion, was up 43%, driven by all the strong volume. We shipped 210 locomotives domestically versus 86 in the fourth quarter last year. We shipped 48 international units versus 30 last year. And mining revenues were also up almost 40% on higher volume. Service revenues were up over 30% on strong long-term agreement performance. And segment profit of $226 million was up more than 200%, driven by all that strong volume and the services delivery. Next is healthcare. We did see a slowdown in the developed markets in Q4 for healthcare. Orders of $5.2 billion were flat. Equipment orders of $3.2 billion were up 1%. Diagnostic imaging overall globally was down 2%. Clinical systems was up 5%. Life sciences was up 3%. If you go by geography, U.S. equipment was down 7%, and non-U.S. equipment was up 6%. And here are some of the pieces. Europe was down 13%. That was the toughest market. China was up 29%. India was up 20%. Latin America was up 6%. Service orders of $2.1 billion were down 1%. And the total orders price for the business was down 1.9%. Revenue of $5.2 billion was up 1%. That was really driven by the emerging markets, which were up 16%, partially offset by the declines in Europe and the U.S. Segment profit of $953 million was down 5%, as the benefits of the higher volume and productivity were more than offset by negative pricing and the continued investments we're making in the new business, like Intel Home Health JV and also new products. On the right side of the page, H&BS had another tough quarter. Revenues of $2.2 billion were down 4%. Segment profit of $82 million was down 41%. You know, these results were driven by appliances. The domestic market was down 12% in units in the quarter. We gained 0.7 of a point of share in the quarter, but the inflation we saw was only partially offset by pricing, resulting in the overall segment profit decline. Lighting revenues were down 1%, driven by Europe. And Intelligent Platforms revenues were up 4%, driven by strong software growth. And let me shift to G Capital. Mike Neal and the Capital team had a really good quarter. Revenues of $10.7 billion were down 9%, in line with our any shrinkage, plus the impact of the fewer days. Pre-tax and after-tax earnings continue to rebound. On the right side, asset quality metrics showed continued improvements or stability. We had $49 billion of volume in the quarter, which was up 13% from Q3. Our margins came in at 5.4% for the year. We continue to beat our ending net investment targets. And there's a lot more information about GE Capital in the supplemental charts on reserve coverage and non-earnings that we posted this morning. So just a few highlights by business. I'll start with consumer. You know, the consumer business had another positive earnings quarter. We ended the year with assets of $139 billion. That was down 6%. Net income of $575 million was up 5%, and that was driven by the improved credit costs. U.S. Retail Finance had a great quarter. They earned $463 million, which was up 29%, driven by some acquisitions. We added some portfolios and also lower credit costs. The U.S. Retail Finance volume was strong. It was up 3% over last year, and it was up 14% versus the third quarter. For Europe, we had net income of $111 million. That was down 35%. But it was driven by not having the Garanti earnings that we used to have since we sold our stake there. We also had $63 million of after-tax impairments on our Greek bonds, and that brings the net book value of our Greek holdings down to about $74 million. Our U.K. home lending business earned $89 million in the quarter. Good performance on asset quality. 30-day delinquencies were down 97 basis points versus Q3. Our owned real estate stock was down to 461 houses, and that's the lowest we've had since 2005. And on the houses that we did repossess and sold, we realized 115% of the carrying value on our sales in the fourth quarter, so pretty good marks and valuation. Next is real estate. Commercial real estate had another quarter with significant improvements over last year. Assets of $61 billion were down $12 billion, or 16% versus last year. And they were also down $4 billion or 6% versus the third quarter, so we continue to work this book down. The business ended Q4 with $153 million of losses after tax. That was $256 million better than last year. During the quarter, we incurred $64 million of after-tax credit costs and $168 million of after-tax marks and impairments. And also during the quarter, a bright spot, I'd say, we sold 157 properties for $1.9 billion, realizing $132 million in after-tax gains. So there, as you see in the press, there is more liquidity in the commercial real estate market, and our business is benefiting from that. As Jeff mentioned on the front page, our unrealized loss on the equity portfolio is down to $2.6 billion, and the outlook is that real estate is going to continue to deliver a strong improved performance in 2012. Commercial lending and leasing also had another strong quarter. Assets of $194 billion were down 4% due to the runoff of some non-core assets and dispositions. Net income of $777 million was up 37%. That's driven by lower losses and higher core income. America's net income of $570 million was up 42%, driven by lower credit costs, and that's their best quarter that they've had in 4 years. Europe and Asia were both down a bit, driven by lower assets. GECAS fourth quarter is actually better than it looks. You can see here net income of $315 million is reported down 27%. but that included the impact last year of $167 million of tax benefits from the IRS settlement we had last year in the fourth quarter. There were no such benefits allocated to GECAS this year. So if you look on a normalized basis, net earnings would have been about 19% up, driven by continued improvements in core margin. Asset quality remains strong here. We ended the quarter, ended the year with two aircraft on the ground. So another good year for GECAS. And Energy Financial Services also had a strong quarter. Earnings of $110 million were up 234%, driven by higher core income and higher gains. So overall, another very strong performance by GE Capital. And let me turn it back to Jeff.
Hey, great, Keith, thanks. For 2012, we're confirming our earnings framework. Strong orders and rebounding margins support double-digit industrial growth. Better margins, improving commercial real estate, and lower losses support double-digit capital growth. Corporate cost and CFOA are in line with our December meeting. Industrial organic growth is well-positioned to expand by 5 to 10%. Capital revenue will be below our December meeting based on lower E&I. So we close the year with momentum towards these results and goals that we have for 2012. To conclude, we're positioned, I think, for strong execution in 12. Organic growth looks solid with a $200 billion backlog. Margins are improving, fueled by productivity programs and cost actions. Our industrial returns will exceed 15%. We're positioned to deliver on the two areas most important to investors, double-digit industrial earnings growth with higher margins and double-digit capital earnings growth with the goal of restarting the GE capital dividend to GE. So it's a good quarter, could have been even better, and that's encouraging for 2012. So I like our momentum, and really we feel good about where we are and what we can get done in 2012. So, Trevor, with that, let's
Thanks, Jeff.
Turn it over to you.
Thanks, Jeff and Keith. Chanel, we're ready to take questions now.